We begin the Karan Dav Masechta Rosh Hashanah Dav Chavav. We begin 8 lines down from the top of the Yomid. Where the Gemara begins now, the next phases in this Masechta, talking about the halachas of Shefer, how that relates to the mitzvahs of Rosh Hashanah. So the Mishnah tells us that Kolei Shefaris, all the Shefers, which are basically the horns of the animals which are used to blow with, whether it be that of a ram, or whether it be that of a yoel, which is translated as a mountain goat, Ksherim, they're all kosher to be used as the Shefer to be blown in Rosh Hashanah. Chutz mishal par, except for the horn of a cow, mimneishu karen, because it's called karen. That's the term that it's given in the Torah, not that of shayfer, where there's two different definitions that can be used to define the horn of an animal. It could either be called a karen, which is a horn, or a shayfer. We need to blow a shayfer, as it says in the pasuk regarding the halacha of blowing the shayfer on yovel, which is every 50 years on Yom Kippur they would blow the shayfer, as it says in the pasuk v'havarta shayfer trua. Now the Gemara later on, Daf Lamed Aleph, will explain that we learned Rosh Hashanah from Yevil, and that it's just like by Yevil they have to blow a shayfer. So to Rosh Hashanah, every year you have to blow a shayfer. Now blowing the horn of a cow is not called a shayfer, it's called a karen. On that, Rabbi Yisi, he argues, he says, V'halik kol shayfaris nikru karen. What do you mean? We find all shayfaris that we know they're called shayfer, we know they're called karen too. Shanem, like it says the pasuk in Yeshua, that says, B'mshayich, with the drawing out, B'karen ha-yevil, of the horn of the Yevil, where the pasuk there concludes is Kishamachim as Kaila Shefer, when you hear the sound of the Shefer. So we see that the what's called Karen is also called Shefer, as Rashi says, that Yevil actually is a term of what's called a Dichra of a ram. This the Gemara will later on explain, which that is kosher for Shefer, and yet still it's called Karen. So therefore Rabbi Yossi argues and he says that the horn of a para of a cow also should be able to be used, because although it's called a Karen, we see that Shefer is also called Karen too. Now, and that is where the Gemara continues on that discussion and says, Shabakam Rabbi Yossi. The Gemara asks, Rabbi Yossi seems to have a good tain, a good claim against the Tanakama. What are they saying that all shayfaris are good except for that is of a cow called Karen? We find that things which are called shayfar are also called Karen, so why would that be a disqualifying factor of the cow? So the Gemara gives three answers in the Gemara. The first one essentially is really answering the question, and then the Gemara will bring two other explanations why the Rabbanan argue Rabbi Yossi. So the Gemara answers, Rabbanan, Kalei Shefaris Ikru Shefer Ve'Ikru Karen. You're right, Rabbi Yossi. All Shefaris are called Shefer, and additionally they're called Karen. But the part of that of a cow, Karen Ikri Shefer Le'Ikri, it's only called Karen, but it's not called Shefer. It's like it says the pasuk in Devarim, which defines the Shevet of Yosef, that says, Bechar, the firstborn, Shari, his ox, Hadrla is his beauty, V'Karen Re'im Karnav, and that the horns of a Re'im are his horns, where we see that of a Shar, of that family, of the cow, is called Karen, but it's not called Shefer. And that is where, although all the other types are called Shefer and they're called Karen, as we find by Matan Torah, where it says B'mshei Chayeva and says Kaila Shefer, here it's different because here it says B'chei Shairai, that's called only Karen. So we see that the cow family is being defined as Karen, and although you're right, Rabbi Yossi, we find others having both terms, but that's not the disqualifying factor. Here it doesn't have the term of Shefer too. Whereas Rabbi Yosef, Malach Rabbi Yosef would tell you that's not true. The Paranam Yikri Shefer, the cow, its horns are also called Shefer. As he proved, there's a pasuk in Tehillim that says, V'sitav l'Hashem, that it should be better to Hashem, my tefillah, that's the context of what the pasuk is talking about, mishar par, than the ox, that's a bull. Now, the difficulty is, imshar lama par, if it's an ox, which means say that it's young, then how could it be a bull? And vim par, and if it's an older one, it's a bull, so lama shar, then why is it an ox? What does that mean, mishar par? Elamai shar par, rather, is what Rabbi Yisrael would tell you is, what does shar par mean? It means mishayfer, put shar par together, you get the word shayfer, and there the context is talking about a shar, and yet still we see that the pasuk is calling it a shayfer, so you see that a shayfer is kosher to be used from a par too. So not only is it Karen, it's also Shefer. And just like you said, that being called a Karen is not a disqualifying factor, because all Shefer is called a Karen. And therefore here we see that a Shefer, its horn is also called a Shefer. But Rabbanan, that they say, no, that the horn of a cow is invalid, is because Kedrev Masna, they interpret that pasuk Sher Par, not to say that it's called a Shefer, but rather, the Amar of Nasna, like Rav Masna said, my Sher Par, what does it mean, Sher Par? Again, as we asked, either it's a Shefer or it's a Par. So the answer is that Shehu gadol kapar. We're talking about a shar that's as big as a par. In other words, that on the day when it's called a shar, it was as big as a par. And that is because we're talking about in the context of the pasuk where he's saying that let my tefillah be better than a shar par, is that the shar, the ox of Maisa Voracious, which was the one that was created on the day that it was created, the first one, was created in its full height. And therefore, although a shur, when it's one day old, is called a shur, as the pasuk says, shur chesu ve'ez ki yivalu, when it's going to be born, it's called already a shur, but a par is only when it's 3 years old. So that is what the pasuk is saying, that let my tefillah be better than the originally created ox, where it was a shur, but it was really a par, because it was almost, it was created as it was in how it would be when it's 3 years old. And that's what it's saying, let it be better. But we don't find anywhere that the shur, that the par, that the para, that their horn should be called shayfar, because he doesn't interpret it like Rabbi Yisi did, and that's why they disqualified. Ulamar, Ula says, Hainu time of the Rabbanan. He gives a second reason why the Rabbanan argue on Rabbi Yisi and say that the horn of a cow is not valid for the shayfar of Rosh Hashanah. Kedir Rav Chizla, like Rav Chizla said, as Rav Chizda says, "B'nei in kain gadol nichnas." Why is it that the kain gadol cannot enter the big day zahav with his golden, meaning the shmeinu begadim? He has garments that are made out of gold. Lefnai v'lefnim lava to go inside the kodesh kodeshim, where once a year he goes in the Yom Kippur to go inside and do that avoda, he's not allowed to do it with his shmeinu begadim, those that have gold. He has to wear the four garments that which the kain gadol, the kain hedyot similarly wears, those that are just white. So Rav Chizda says, is lafisha inka teger, is because someone that's a prosecutor, and that in this regard, it's a reference to the Egel Hazav, which is really the epitome of all the sins of the Jewish people, which has its remnants still today, that is the golden calf, that is a prosecutor, cannot be then a Nasa Sinekar to become a defendant. And therefore, you can't come in with the gold, which is reminiscent of the Egel Hazav, inside when you're trying to defend the Jewish people. Now, similarly, the shayfer of the para would also be a prosecutor because that's the eagle. The eagle is a calf, which is a cow. And therefore, we can't go ahead and use it when we're trying to defend the Jewish people to recall of all their merits and then come with a shayfer, which we will call the eagle as a... Now, that the Gemara asks, but loy, is it really true that ain't kateganas sanegr? And that's why we can't use the shayfer of the eagle. And therefore, we can't come in either with gold, which there's two characteristics. It was eagle hazav, where there's the calf of it, and then there's the gold. We can't do either one. But v'ikad dam par, what do you mean? One of the avodas of the kohen gadol Yom Kippurim is the blood of the bull that he would bring with different kabbanas, and that they were thrown on the kapiras. He brought it inside the kodesh kadoshim. But how could you? A par is from that family. Tzvi Sigmar answers that here it's different. Hail vishtani, since the par, although it is from that family, but since it changed, where now it's blood and it's not reminiscent anymore that it's recognizable that it's coming from a bull, so shtani, therefore it's halacha, its status has changed, and that's why that's allowed to be brought in. That's not going to be considered a kateger becoming a saneger. But the Gemara continues asking, what veka aron, is the aron hakodesh, the kapiris, and is the covering of the aron, the kruvim, is the kruvim on top, which are all made out of gold. How are they allowed to be inside the kodesh kodeshim, which is also integral for the avodim kippurim, and yet that should be reminiscent of the egel hazav? Now the Gemara answers that, no, it's there's an association over here. It's chayte, it's the sinner, the person, who in this context is the kohen gadol, bal yakrav kamrina. We're saying that he shouldn't come near, in other words, to the holiest of holy, to provide an atonement for the Jewish people with the fact that he's wearing gold, which is that's what he sinned with. So man, which sinned, should not come with gold. But these objects didn't sin. There's nothing inherently wrong with gold, and therefore that's not going to be considered inka teganas and neger. The Gemara continues asking, but v'ikka kafa machta, there's the pan and the ladle. These are things that he brings into Keteris, which is man bringing items made out of gold, which is integral for the avodim kippurim inside lefnayv lefnim. But ain't kateken asenegar. And the Gemara answers, that's still different. Chayte bal yisno kamina. What we were saying is that the sinner should not beautify himself, in other words, coming near with items made out of gold. So he cannot wear garments out of gold because how can you decorate yourself with the item that is exactly going to implicate you in the crime of the Egel Hazav? But to bring a ladle with the Keteris, that's not decorating himself with that. That's not a problem of Inkar Teganas Neger. But the Gemara still asks, but Ve'ikka Big Dezav Mibachutz. But on Yom Kippurim, the Kohen Gadol does wear the Big Dezav, although not inside, but he wears it outside. How could he wear the Yom Kippurim when that will recall the sin of the Egel Hazav? But the Gemara says, no, b'befnim kamrina. We were only saying that it's inka teganas neger when you're coming inside the holiest of holy, kodesh hakodeshim, that's a problem. But outside, that will not recall the sin. But then the Gemara asks, if that's so, shefer namim v'chutzu, the shefer, they don't blow inside the kodesh hakodeshim. Therefore, what's the problem? You're saying on Yom Kippurim, you can't blow the shefer of the par, because it's going to, of the par of the cow, because it's going to remind them of the Egel Hazav. But it's not being done the holiest of holy. It should be just like the Kohen Gadol, who does some avodas on the day when it's to remind of the merits of the Jewish people, since it's outside and it's not inside. So the same thing should apply to the Shofar and should be allowed with that of the cow. But the Gemara answers that here it's a little bit different, because although there's no element of Chayti Bal Yikrav over here, and neither do you have of Chayti Bal Yisna, not beautifying yourself, but regarding the Shofar, Kivin de Lezikarnu, since its whole utility of the Shofar is to recall, so it has the same status as the garments of the Kohen Gadol, that it's kibbuf nimdami. It's essentially, it's the same as coming inside the Holiest of Holies. Because when you're coming inside the Holy of Holies, then you're in a place which automatically recalls all the things related to that when you're decorating yourself with that. But here the Shofar has the same product in the sense of, since it's coming to recall, it then that itself will then recall regarding all the things of the Shofar. And therefore, if you were using that of the cow, it would recall the sin of the Egel Hazav. Now the Gemara asks, but how can you say that this is the reason why the Rabban argue on your Beisi, that you can't use that of the cow because it will recall the Egel Hazav? Simatot of Chizda says regarding the Kohen Gadol, not being able to wear the golden garments on Yom Kippur when he comes lefnev lefnim. But Vatana, we learned in our mission of the reason why they argue on your Beisi. Neshu Karen Kamar. They say clearly why. It's because it's called a Karen, not a Shofar. Not because of this reason of Inka Tega Nasenega. So that answers Chadavoid Kamar. There's one and another reason. There's two reasons. Chad the Inka Tega Nasenega. One reason to argue on him is because you can't have the prosecutor become the defendant. Void Neshu Karen. And another one, as it says in our Mishnah, is because it's called Karen, not a Shofar. Rabbi Yisrael Malachi would argue on both points. The Ka'amrit Inka Tega Nasenega. This that you said that the prosecutor cannot become the defendant, which means to say you cannot use the Egel Hazav to then use its horn as blowing on Rosh Hashanah. That's only something that's inside the Holiest of Holies, like Rav Chizda said. But ultimately, he doesn't agree to that svara, that logic of that, because it's coming to recall, it has the same status. No, it's not inside, it's outside. You can go ahead and use it from something, just like you could wear the big dizav outside, you could also use that of the Eagle family outside. But the Kamer Nishu Karen, this that you said that it's called Karen, not Shofar. That's not a problem, because Kol Shofar is not Mikra Karen. All Shofaris are called Karen, therefore that's not a disqualifying feature, as we already mentioned before. Abai Omer, he says, a third interpretation for the Rabban. He says, Hai Nitam the Rabban, the reason of the Rabban that they disqualify the Shofar of a cow is because Shofar, the Om Rahman, the Torah uses a singular term to define the Shofar that you have to blow. And you can't use two or three Shofaris. Now, Vahad the Para, the horn, the Shofar of a cow, Kivin the Koi Gildi Gildi, since it grows, every single year, there's an additional part that grows on the horn. Now, it's recognizable, the extra growth. And it looks like it's a new piece where the first part ends, then you see the beginning of the next part. So it looks like two or three shofaris. That's disqualified because you only have shofar, one shofar, singular, not two or three shofaris, which is what is the appearance of the horn of a cow. Now, then the Gemara asked, as it asked on Ula's interpretation, but Vatanu Berlin, now Mishnah, Nishu Karen Kama. How can you say that they're abundant disqualifying it? Because it's two or three shofar, it's not one. But they said in the mission of the reason is because it's a Karen, not a shofar. But the Gemara answers similarly, Chad Vayit Kamar. There's one and another reason. Chad de shofar echad am rachmana b'leishnayim b'shleish shofaris. One reason is because it says in the singular, not two or three different horns, which is what it is by the cow. V'ayib nushu Karen, and also additionally because it's called Karen, not shofar. Rabbi Yisrael Malachi would tell you, the Kamar shofar echad am rachmana b'leishnayim b'shleish shofaris. This said you would say that the Torah says you're only allowed to have one regarding Gevul, and we learn that together, Rosh Hashanah. That's only one, not two, three. Well, kivin the machabri adadi. So he says, since the, quote, the different horns of the one horn of that of a cow, since they're attached, shachadu, that's really one, that's not two, three shofaris. But they come, they shu Karen, and this that you said, that it's disqualified because it's Karen, not shofar. Kali shofar is not maker Karen, all shofar is a called Karen, and therefore that's not a disqualifying feature. Now the Gemara asks, on what was mentioned in our Mishnah by Rabbi Yasi, that he proved, he says, look, I'll show you that all shofar is a called Karen, as he brought from the pasuk in Yeshua bim Shaykh, Karen Hayayvel, where there it's talking about a ram, which is kosher as a shofar, and yet it's called a Karen, so therefore he says that the Karen should not be a disqualifying feature of the cow either. And then the Gemara asks, my mashma hayuvla lishna did dechruhu. Where does he see to prove that we're talking about something that is a shofar, which is a ram's horn, that he's learning that in the pasuk of Karen Hayayvel by the Karen, the horn of the Yevel, how does he know that's a reference to the ram to say that we see that even that of a ram, which is a shofar, is being called a Karen and therefore not a disqualifying feature? So I think Gemara brings the 10, like we learned the Braisa. Amar Rabbi Kiva, he says, Keshalachti la Ravi, when I went to Arabia, Hayikarin l'dichra yuvla. They called dichra, which is a term of a zachar, of a male, which is a reference for the male of that family, which is a ram. They called it yuvla. So therefore, that we see that Lashon HaKodesh has its appearance in all languages, which are broken up fragments of Lashon HaKodesh. So he says when they went there that they heard that term, which is again to illustrate this idea that dichra is a term of yavla, which is, so therefore when the pasuk says b'karen ha-yavla, basically saying you see something that is a kosher shofar is actually also going to be called karen, and therefore it's not a disqualifying feature. Something more continues with many different discussions related to this about the etymology of different words and the sources for them. Vamer B'Kiva says, k'shalachti l'galya, when I went to Galya, ha-yakaren l'nida galmuda, they called a nida, a menstruating woman, who has a certain tumah, which is forbidden for her to be in contact with others, that they were called Gamuda. So that, the question is, my Gamuda? Why were they called Gamuda? So that's a contraction of three words of Gamula, which Gamula is a term of separated, which is what a child goes to when they're Gamel, when they wean the child, which there's that separation, Dami Baila, that she is separated from her husband, which is that separation when she's menstruating. That's why she was called Galmuda. Vamer B'Kiva, similarly B'Kiva says, Keshlach l'Afriki, when I went to Afriki, Hayakarin lama'a kasita. They called ma'a, which is a certain currency, they called the kasita. Now, lamai mafka, I mean, what's the halachic relevance of that? That's lefrusha, that's to explain the pasuk in Bereishis, which talks about when Yaakov purchased a plot of land, says, meya kasita, that was derais, that was mentioned in the Torah, it was a reference to this 100 kasita, which now we know what that means is meya donkey, because we know that they would call the ma'a kasita, so we know that it was a ma'a, which is a donkey, which means a sixth of a dinner. Now we know exactly how much he paid for what he purchased. Similarly, Amar Rebbe, k'shalachti l'krachayim, when we went to the cities by the ocean, hayukarin l'mechira kira, they called mechira kira, in the abridged version of that word, of a sale. Now, l'mayin nafkemina, what's the halachic relevance of that? It's l'frusha to explain a different pasuk in Bereishis, which when Yosef was telling Pari that he had to go bury his father Yaakov in Eretz Yisrael, that he said, asher karisi li, that which I was Karis for myself, which was regarding the plot of land that he had for his burial in Eretz Yisrael, which means that I had purchased for myself, which is a term of Mechira. Amr Shimon Lakish, again, continuing on this theme, Keshalachti l'tchum Kan Nishraya, when I went to the boundaries of Kan Nishraya, to the border, Hayikarin l'kala Ninfi. They called a bride Ninfi, l'tanagol Sechvi, and to a rooster they called Sechvi. So the Gemara wants to know the sources for these two terms. Again, as we said, that many different languages have its sources, which all the languages ultimately have their original source in Lashon HaKodesh. So, L'kala Ninfi Micro, where is there a pasuk that shows this, that a bride is called Ninfi? So it says a pasuk in Tehillim that says, Yefei Naif, the bride is beautiful, Mesois Kalar is the joy of all the land, so we see that a bride is called Naif, that's the term of Ninfi. With a Tanagol Sechvi, and then he says that they called a rooster Sechvi. So Amr Rav Yehuda Marav, V'Boisim HaSensei was Rabbi Shuman Levi, that Micro, what's the pasuk that we find that a rooster is called Sechvi? There's a pasuk in Eiv that says, Mishas Batuches Chachma, who placed in the smooth one wisdom, Ominosin La Sechvi Vino, which that's the first of the Birchas HaShachar, who gave to the Sechvi understanding, that is, Mishas Batuches Chachma, what does it mean when it says in the pasuk, who placed in the smooth one wisdom, Elu Kaleis, that's a reference to the kidneys, which are smooth, which is always considered the seat of counsel. Oiminosin La Sechvi Vino, who gave for Sechvi, which Rashi defines that's a term of ri'iya, of vision, which is from the term of the sin and the chaf, which is samaches, which is istachi, which is a term of seeing, that there is this wisdom, Zetanagal, that's a reference to the rooster, which that's one of the definitions of the bracha of Anoisin L'Sechvivin, L'Havchid Be'yim V'Loyla, where there's that, gets this understanding, the rooster, to know the difference between night and day, and starts making his noises in the morning when it starts turning into day. Again, related to this, the Gemara brings Levi Iklahu Aster. Levi went to this following place. Aster gav l'kamei. Amalei, so there was this person that came in front of him and told him the following thing. We continue on to Amud Beis. He says, Kavon Planya, that person was Kaivami, which, as the Gemara will illustrate, that means to say that that following person stole from me. Now, Lohavi Yadim, my Kamalei, but Levi didn't know exactly what he was talking to me. What does that mean, Kavah, that he was Kaivami? So Asher Shol Be'Midrash, he came to the Bismidrash and he asked him, what does that mean? So Amalei, they told him, Gazan Amalach, he was telling you that the person had stolen from him. So it's like it says a pasuk in Malachi that says, Hayikva Odom Elikim Begamer. Can a person rob from God? Where the context of the pasuk is there, where people are stealing the maisis and trumas that belong to Hashem, which then he gives to his kahanim and his levim. Can a person rob from Hashem? So he was taken from that context of that pasuk of Hayikva. Now, only Rav Amar Nishl, Rav Asher, Rav Amar Nishl commented to Rav Asher. He says, had I been there and someone had asked me that question, I would have told the person as follows. He says, Hechi kavacha, how was he kaveyu? B'mai kavacha, with what was he kaveyu? V'amai kavacha, now why was he kaveyu? B'mela, haviyadina, I would have had gone through this line of questioning and I would have known exactly what he's talking about from the contextual understanding. I could have asked other questions and I would have gotten the picture of what he exactly means, and therefore I wouldn't have had to go to Beis Medrash to ask. But the Gemara says, V'yu sav, but Levi thought, why didn't he go through that line of questioning? Is Milsa Disur Karmale. He thought that that person was telling him an act of illicit relations. He didn't want to get graphic about exactly how, why, with what, and then he didn't want to ask him such specifics as it came to his marriage to ask exactly what did that mean. Similar discussion, the Gemara brings that. Lahava Yadi Rabbana Mai Sirugin. The Talmudic scholars, they didn't know what the term of Sirugin meant, which is related to a sugya in Masechtas Megillah on the Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, which says that regarding someone that read the Megillah, Sirugin. Now, they didn't know what that meant to know what is the halacha based on when you read it Sirugin. So Shamula Amsu Devei Rebbe, they heard the maidservant of the household of Rebbe, Techazisnu Rabbanon, they have an Eile Piski Piski. She saw that the Talmudic scholars were coming in and different groups. They weren't coming in together at one time. So Amalahu, she said to them, Admasa Atam Nechnasin Sirugin Sirugin. She said, until when are you all going to be coming in Sirugin Sirugin? Now they got a picture. Now they knew what it meant. It meant that it means when someone would read the Megillah a bunch of the time, then stop, then again a bunch of time and stop. That's the halacha of reading it b'sirugin, which was how they understood from when she used that term in regards to Rabbanan coming in with groups, then stopping, then another group, and then stopping. Again, the Gemara says that Lohaviyadi Rabbanan Mai Chalagulugois. The Rabbanan didn't know a term which is mentioned in the sugya in the first paragraph of Masechtas Yumot of Yud Ches Amud Aleph, which says that for all 7 days before the Kohen Gadol would go in to do the Avodim Kippurim, he wouldn't eat garlic, nor would he eat chalag lugos. So they didn't know what that meant. Now, Yom Echad Shamu La'amsu Debei Rebbe, one day they heard the maidservant of the house of the Rebbe, the Chazaz Lahu Gavr de Komevader Farfachine, that she saw a certain individual that was spreading out his purslane, which is from a certain type of herb family. Now Amrlei, so she said to that person, until how long are you going to be spreading out your purse lane? But she used that term of chalalugos. Now they knew exactly what that meant, what the Kohen Gadol shouldn't be eating for the 7 days before Yom Kippurim. Again, lohaviyadi rabbanan mai, the rabbanan didn't know what does it mean in the pasuk of Mishlei. There was this word salsaleha, they didn't know what that word meant, usarem mecha, and then it will uplift you. Now Yom Echad Shemula, Amsu Debei Rebbe, one day they heard the maidservant of Rebbe, to have Amr Lahu Gavra, to have a Kamahapich Besa'ari, that she told this individual that was curling his hair. Amr Lahu, so she said to him, Admasayatim Esalsal Besarecha, how long are you going to go ahead and curl your hair? Now, from that, they understood that the term Salsaleha meant to curl, to seek and to search and to turn over, which is what curling is, to get to the secrets of Torah, and then it will uplift you. That's what someone has to do with Salsaleha, to continuously turn over and over. That's what this person was doing when they were curling their hair, and now they understand what the Pasuk is talking about. Again, Leviyadi Rabbanan Mai, the Rabbanan didn't know, what does it mean, the Pasuk in Yeshaya, that it says regarding the destruction of Bavel, it says, V'teite siho b'metaite hashmet, that Hashem will be matate it with a matata of destruction. So they didn't know what that meant. Now, Yom Echad Shemu La'am Sud Rebbe, one day they heard the maidservant of the household of Rebbe, Tavas Amr L'chavertu, who was telling her friend, Shekuli Tateisa, take a broom, V'taite Vesa, and clean up the house. Now they understood what it meant is sweeping, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to totally destroy Bavel and sweep it out with the broom of destruction. Again, L'havi Yadir Rabbanan Mai, the Rabbanan didn't know what it meant in the Pasuk in Tehillim. Hashlich al Hashem Yehovecha. Throw on Hashem your Yehovcha, whatever that means, and He'll provide for you. Now, Amar Rabba Bachani says, Yom Echad Havazlina Bahadi Had Hutaya. One day I was walking with this Arab merchant, Havadirina Tuna, and I was carrying a load. V'amali, and he told me, Shkel Yehovech, take your Yehav, which obviously was a reference to his load, B'shodi Gamloy, and throw it on my camel because I have it anyway. From that he understood that the pasuk means, Hashlech Hashem Yehovecha, throw on Hashem your load, V'hichalkalecha, and have betachan Hashem, and He'll provide for all your needs. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing on the theme about the Shafer that's used on Rosh Hashanah. So the Mishnah tells that Shafer Shal Rosh Hashanah, the Shafer that's blown to be used on Rosh Hashanah, is Shal Yo'il Pashit. It should be, first of all, of a wild goat, and it should be that which is straight. As the Gemara will explain, the reason is because things related to Tefillah, which is what we're doing on Rosh Hashanah, where we're entreating God, needs Pshitas. It needs things that are straightforward. upiv mitzubazov, and regarding that one which was used in the Beis HaMikdash, its mouth, the tip of the shayfer, was plated with gold. V'shticha tzitzim latzadin, and it had two trumpets on either side of the shayfer. Now, shayfer marech, the shayfer would be lengthy. V'chatzitzim katzris, however, the trumpets would be shorter, and that is after the trumpets stop blowing, you would still hear the sound of the shayfer. And the reason for that is shemitzayim b'shayfer, because the mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah, the primary one, is the shayfer. It just has an accompaniment, those of the trumpets. Now, ubesainias, regarding the public fast, which the Gemara says in Sechtes Tainis Daf Tazvav and Beis, that the kahana would blow the tkiyas, were b'shel zcharim kfufin. They were of the males, which is a reference to the rams, which are the male, which generally those are ones which are bent. That's how their horns are. That's what they should use by the public fast. Upien mitzupa kesef, and their tip was plated with silver. Ushtechat tzitzim b'emza, and there we have two trumpets in the middle. And that is, there were two shayfaras, which were on either side, and the two trumpets were in the middle. Now, shayfer mekatzer, the shayfer would be shorter. V'chat tzitzim arichis, and the trumpets would be longer. And the reason is, because the mitzvah sayim mechat tzitzim, is because the mitzvah of, the primary mitzvah on the fast, are actually the trumpets, because the purpose is to gather the people together. And now any gathering is primarily with chatzais, with trumpets, as the pasuk says in Midbar Yud, that the trumpet should be for you to go ahead and call together all the people, and that's why the trumpets are primary in the public fast. Now, the Mishnah concludes with a machlekes. Tanakama says, Shava ha-yevel Rosh Hashanah. Now, yevel, which is every 50 years, that when they would, that it would be, it would start essentially on Yom Kippur. So that Yom Kippur of Yevel is the same as Rosh Hashanah for Litkia, for its blowing, for the Tkias, and that is they would be used with Pshutin, with, they wouldn't be bent, those Shofaros, rather they would be straight. Now, although the Tkia of Yevel, it doesn't have that same purpose of davening or recalling as it is by Rosh Hashanah, which is what we're saying why the reason is on Rosh Hashanah, it is straight. It's just as a sign to send all the slaves home and that all the sales should go back to their rightful owner, all the lands. In spite of that, it still had the same halachas like Rosh Hashanah, as the Gemara later on, the Flam Dama Av, explains, is a Gezeirah Shavah of Shvi Shvi between Rosh Hashanah and between the blowing of Yevel, and therefore it shears that halacha of Tkia, that its shayfer should be pashtut, should be straight. And Ula Brachas, also regarding that there should be 9 blessings said on the Yom Kippur of Yevel, just like on Rosh Hashanah. However, Yehuda Emir, he argues, and his reasoning will be explained in the Gemara, that Rosh Hashanah, there is a discrepancy between Rosh Hashanah and Yevel. It says, on Rosh Hashanah, taken b'shal zcharim, you blow with those of rams. U'v'yevalis b'shal ye'elim, however, on Yevel would be those of the wild goats, and that's because he doesn't hold of that gezeirah shavah comparing Yevel to Rosh Hashanah, and therefore, as Gemara explains, so why is it specifically that? He holds that they have different types of shayfaris that are used for Rosh Hashanah and that of Yevel. Now, the Gemara will quote a halacha of Amora, which it will then ask from our Mishnah. Amar Levi, Levi says, mitzvah shel Rosh Hashanah v'shem Kippurim, the mitzvah of the shayfer of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippurim is with b'kfufin. Now that of Yom Kippur is obviously a reference to that of Yevel, where we don't blow a shayfer on Yom Kippur, it's only that of every 50 years that Bezdin would blow it. So both of those shayfers should be bent shayfers. V'shel kol Hashanah, and the shayfer of the rest of the year, meaning that of the tiniest of the public fast, are b'pshutin, are with straight horns. Now that's Gemara asks, but now we're learning our Mishnah, Shevish Rosh Hashanah, the Shefer Rosh Hashanah, is Shel Yo'il Pashut, is that of a wild goat that's straight. And Reb Levi said that it should be bent. So that the Gemara says, Hudama Ki Haitan. He says, like the other opinion on Mishnah, that of Reb Yehuda, the town like Lunna Braisa. Behudama, he says, Rosh Hashanah had taken B'shal Scharm Kafufa, and on Rosh Hashanah they would blow with a ram which was bent, Uve Yevol B'shal Yelim, and then Yevol would be that of a wild goat. And therefore, it's not a contradiction to Reb Levi, because he's saying, like Reb Yehuda, that it would be a bent one, not a straight one. Now, then the Gemara asks, Reb Levi Hilchas like Reb Yehuda. Why did Reb Levi come and say a whole halacha by his own? Just say, halacha is like the Tana of Reb Yehuda, as he says in our Mishnah. Now, that the Gemara says, Iyam and Hilchas like Reb Yehuda, had he said halacha is like Reb Yehuda, Havamina, then we would have thought to say, Afila shel Yevel namik Reb Yehuda severely. That even that of Yevel, then he would hold like Reb Yehuda, which is clear, and that's illustrated in the Braisa, where then that there's discrepancy between Yevul and Rosh Hashanah. So though regarding Rosh Hashanah, he's saying like him regarding that it should be bent, but there's another component of Reb Yehuda's halacha, which is that, but Yevul doesn't have that of the same of Rosh Hashanah. He says that Rosh Hashanah is going to be Zacharim, that of a ram, and Yevul, that of Yom Kippur on it, is going to be of a wild goat. And that is Kamash Malan. That's what he comes to teach, that there's a difference. Regarding Rosh Hashanah, he holds Reb Yehuda that it should be bent and it shouldn't be straight. But regarding Yevil, he doesn't hold like him that it should be Shel Ye'elim, because he does hold of the Gezeris Shava comparing Yevil and Rosh Hashanah. Now, the Gemara will first explain, but my kemifikah, what exactly is Machlegis to Tanakam and Rebbe Yehuda, which then will conclude, will define Reb Levi's opinion, which seems to be a combination of the two. So the Gemara explains that Marasav Rebbe Yehuda held, B'Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah, Kamadi Kayif Inish Daiti, as much as a person humbles himself, and that is, he lowers his head for his tefillah by having his face facing downward to the ground, Tfei Me'ali, that's better. And that's because as Rashi brings a pasuk in Malachim Aleph, V'hoyu Eini V'lib Yisham, that, so to speak, where the Shechina is, that's where Hashem is there and Hashem's focus is there. And therefore, it's not appropriate for a person to be looking straight ahead. He should have his head bowed down. There should be something that's bent. Now, therefore, Rosh Hashanah, which is all about tefillah and to recall the Akedas Yitzchak, so we want that the Shefer should be that of bent. Now, Ubiyem Kippurim, however, regarding the Yovel, which is when they blow it on Yom Kippur, which is that's to declare freedom for all the slaves, so that we need that Kamada Pashat in the Shdaite, there, the more the person is straight, Tfei Me'ali, there it's better. And therefore, that's why by Yevil it would be straight. And that's because he doesn't hold the Gezer Shavu comparing Yevil to Rosh Hashanah. So though Rosh Hashanah is better that it's bent, but Yom Kippur, he held that it was better that it's going to be straight. And again, Yom Kippur is a reference to the Yom Kippur of Yevil every 50 years. Now, Umar Savatanakama held, Rosh Hashanah, he held that no. Kama the Pashat and Ishdaite Tfei Me'ali. The straighter a person is on Rosh Hashanah, that's how much it's better. As Rashi brings a pasuk in Eicha, because of the pasuk of Nisa Levavenu al Kapayim, that will stretch out our hearts to our hands. And therefore, on Rosh Hashanah, we want to be manifest. We want to be straight up, which is what we're doing when we're davening. And Yom Kippurim, the Tanakama held, is the same because of that Gzeres Shavah. Whereas the Betanias, however, on the public fast, we're there to gather people. There, we don't need anything about that straight. And therefore, to the contrary, there, the more a person is humble, the more he's bent over, the better it's going to be. And therefore, we make it on the tiniest as that it should be bent over, that should be recognizable, that concept of how a person should be on the fast. Now, again, Reb Levi, and that's how we had opened up this discussion in the Gemara, holds like a Behuda. Now, therefore, regarding Tefillah, which is on Rosh Hashanah, you need that the Sheva should be bent over. Now, however, that stands in contrast to Yom Kippurim of Yevil, where he holds that we do make that Gezeir Shavah comparing Yevil to Rosh Hashanah, like the Rabbanan in that sense that they hold the Gezeir Shavah. Now, therefore, Levi holds that both Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim need to be bent over, because the idea about the Gezeir Shavah, which is where the Rabbanan's opinion is coming from, that he agrees to. He just argues on their premise that they say that Rosh Hashanah should be Pashat. He says that no, on that I hold like a Behud, that it should be Kafuf. And but just I argue in Rebbe Yehuda regarding that he doesn't hold the Gezeirah Shavah, I hold that there is a Gezeirah Shavah, and that's why he said that regarding Rosh Hashanah and the Yom Kippur of Yevil, both of those Shefaris should be Kfuf and they should be bent over again, because he does hold the Gezeirah Shavah, which is like the Rabban in that sense, but he holds like Rebbe Yehuda in regards to what's better for Rosh Hashanah, Pashat like the Rabban, no, he holds like Rebbe Yehuda that it's better Kafuf, that one should be more subdued, more humbled, and therefore Kafuf, which is more bent over.